Welcome to Whiskey Cast, Cask Strength Conversation, featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 407 for January 18th, 2013. Coming up in a few minutes.
People really seem to have, you know, become interested in the Canadian Whiskey Awards. So the producers are sending all their best whiskey. So yeah, it was a lot of work for the judges, and we got some really wonderful whiskeys.
This weekend, I'm in Victoria, British Columbia for the annual Victoria Whiskey Festival, and that's Davin DeKergamo of The Malt Maniacs and CanadianWhiskey.org. Davin presented the annual Canadian Whiskey Awards on Thursday night, and in addition to Davin, we'll hear from the man behind the Canadian Whiskey of the Year for 2012, John Hall of 40 Creek. On WhiskeyCast In Depth, we'll get an update on the progress of British Columbia's largest whiskey distillery, Shelter Point, with the distillery's owner, Patrick Evans. I'll also have the calendar of events, the comments of the week, and the What I'm Tasting This Week department.
WhiskeyCast. Proudly brought to you by Redbreast. The definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Join the Stillhouse at singlepotstill.com and receive an exclusive whiskey tasting journal.
Let's start off with the week's news. It's brought to you by Glenmorangie. Before we get to the news from Victoria, an update on the story I first reported 2 weeks ago on changes affecting international whiskey shipments. We're now getting more clarification on the severity of the impact of the UK's Royal Mail banning whiskey from being shipped by post internationally. Royal Mail Whiskies in Edinburgh was the first to announce plans to stop shipping whiskey to the U.S. and several other countries when the new rules took effect on January 8th. But now, the Whiskey Barrel, the Whiskey Exchange, and other retailers are joining in. Here's the impact of that change. Any alcohol above 24% ABV, which includes all whiskies, must now be shipped by cargo services such as FedEx or DHL. And those shipments get a lot more scrutiny from customs than regular mail shipments. In countries where there are no legal provisions for individuals to import whiskey legally, which includes the U.S., that means those shipments are more likely to be intercepted at the border. The countries most affected by the change, in addition to the United States and Canada, are Israel, China, and South Africa. I'll have more details on this as they're available. In other news, Glenfarclas is adding a new expression to its travel retail range. Glenfarclas 18-year-old is being launched this weekend at the Cinderella Whiskey Fair on board the cruise ship Cinderella in the Baltic Sea. It's bottled at 43% ABV and will be available in 1-liter bottles. Napog Castle is releasing another Twin Wood expression. The 14-year-old Twin Wood uses Irish whiskies matured in ex-bourbon barrels and Oloroso sherry casks. It's bottled at 46% ABV and is non-chill filtered. It's the second Twin Wood release for Napog Castle. The first one was matured for 15 years in ex-bourbon casks and finished in sherry casks. Meanwhile, Buffalo Trace is out with its latest experimental collection series whiskies. These two were intended to look at the impact of extreme heat on the wood and the whiskey inside. Hotbox Toasted Barrel Bourbon used staves toasted in an oven at 133 degrees Fahrenheit before being made into barrels and charred. The whiskey was matured for 16 years and 8 months before bottling. On the other hand, number 7 Heavy Char Barrel Bourbon used barrels charred with flames for a whopping 3.5 minutes instead of the usual 55 seconds. The number 7 refers to the char level. A 55-second burn is usually thought of as a number 4 char. The whiskey in those barrels was matured for 15 years and 9 months. Both will be available at retailers over the next few weeks. Back to news from here in Victoria now. The third annual Canadian Whiskey Awards presentation was held on Thursday night as the kickoff to the Victoria Whiskey Festival. Davin DeKergamo of CanadianWhiskey.org created the awards to honor the best Canadian whiskies, and this year's field was the strongest yet.
We had about 50% more entries this year. People really seem to have, you know, become interested in the Canadian Whiskey Awards, and so the producers are sending all their best whiskey. So yeah, it was a lot of work for the judges, and we got some really wonderful whiskeys.
Tell me about some of the top ones. 40 Creek Portwood was the overall winner, at least in terms of Canadian Whiskey of the Year honors. as the highest rated among all the judges. Tell me about that one and then some of the others that really came out as surprises here.
Well, Portwood was not a surprise. John Hall has released that in the past, a different version of it. And that's just a wonderful, wonderful whiskey. Very fruity, big. It's a fruit bomb. It's a big, voluptuous whiskey. It tastes great. There's been some really interesting developments this year in Canadian whiskey. Lot number 40 is back. That is 100% rye grain. There's no barley used in that. They use malted rye for the enzymes. And so it's 90% rye grain, 10% malted rye, a wonderful, big, floral, fruity whiskey. Alberta Premium Dark Horse, a wonderful whiskey. It's a new whiskey from Alberta Premium, which combines some corn whiskey and some rye whiskey, and it's just so flavorful. It really has kind of like almost a bourbon profile, but it's big, and it's a huge whiskey. I guess Highwood 25-year-old. My goodness, that was wonderful whiskey, and the judges loved it. It's a special edition that was released for the Calgary Stampede, but they have another one, which is called Lot 1525, which is or 1521, which is a 1525. I'm sorry, which is a really wonderful, crispy, really woody whiskey. Again, a really wonderful whiskey. But Gibson's 18-year-old, one of my all-time favorites. The judges agreed with me on that this year, and it was the Connoisseur Whiskey of the Year for Canada. Gibson's 18-year-old, just a smashing whiskey. There was another whiskey, Canadian Rockies 21-year-old. It's only available in Taiwan. Again, a whiskey that really, is make people sit up and notice. So yeah, Canadian whiskey had a very good year this year.
And one of the interesting things you noted was the rise in flavored whiskeys, because we've always known that Canadian whiskeys could add a little bit of flavor, but they went over and above in terms of quality with that flavorings this year. As one of the judges, I noticed that when I was tasting these whiskeys, but it seems like they really caught on to what other regions have been doing with flavorings.
Yes. Now, I guess it's important to note that those Canadian flavored whiskeys are labeled flavored. So if they don't try to pass it off as, whiskey, it's flavored whiskey. We know that, the Scottish add flavor by putting it in wine barrels or bourbon barrels or whatever. Well, the Canadians add a little bit, and we're honest about it. But for the flavored whiskeys, the spiced whiskeys and the maple whiskeys, these whiskeys really they tried to complement the congeners that are already in the whiskey by adding a bit of maple, which brings out woody notes, or adding a bit of spice, or a bit of vanilla to bring out some of the spicy notes from the rye or some of the vanilla from the wood. So yeah, they did that. And some of them, I guess, are really quite flavored. They a little over the top for my palate, but they're bringing new people to whiskey. A lot of women love this. My wife loves black velvet toasted caramel. A lot of younger drinkers, and they're getting this, and they're getting the whiskey palate. I see it in my own household. The young guys are, enjoying this whiskey. So, I say more power to them.
You brought up something really interesting about adding a little bit of maple syrup. A little goes a long way here, and I want you to sort of explain this, because we see a lot of bartenders and mixologists that will use a maple syrup in a whiskey cocktail, but you explained, and this is the first time I've actually heard the explanation, why maple syrup works so well when you add just a drop or two.
Yeah, you don't want to add too much. If you get maple whiskey, that's a different thing altogether. But there are many congeners, the flavorants in the whiskey that come from the wood, that are very similar or identical to woody notes that are in the maple syrup. Now, these notes are kind of masked in the maple syrup because of all the sweetness. But if you add just a little bit of maple syrup to a whiskey that has good woodiness in it, it will bring these out. Flavors that may be a little bit below the threshold of taste, all of a sudden you can taste them. Or another thing, you can do the same with a tiny little bit of sherry added to whiskey. Like in Alberta Premium Dark Horse, they added just 1%, it might even be 0.5% sherry, but suddenly all these fruity notes, which were just sitting there, they're natural rye fruity notes, just below the threshold of taste, you add this in and suddenly they all pop out and you can taste it. It's like adding salt to a steak, It enhances what's already there.
This really is a banner year for Canadian whiskey. What are we going to see in 2013 that makes it, that gives it the potential to be another banner year?
in January, it's difficult to say because people are keeping their cards close to their chest right now. I know that Alberta Distillers is working on a new whiskey. I understand that that there's a new whiskey coming from Corby's. I don't know if it'll be a Weiser's or something else. I don't know what they're going to do at Canadian Club, but you saw that triple aged, which it doesn't sound so great on paper, but in the glass it just tastes wonderful. So I don't know what's going to be coming, Mark. I wish I could predict that. I'd be happy if I had to drink Pike Creek and Lot 40 and Alberta Premium Dark Horse and things like that. Gibson's 18-year-old, I love that. And Gibson's and Weiser's Legacy, Weiser's 18-year-old. But I don't really know what's coming.
As Davin mentioned, 40 Creek Portwood Reserve took top honors as Canadian Whiskey of the Year. It's the second time John Hall has produced a Portwood finished whiskey.
Unbelievable. It was just nice to be recognized for it. I knew, I enjoyed tasting the whiskey, but it's nice that other people enjoyed it too. And to receive that award is quite an honor.
That was just the icing on the cake after a whole neck full of medals tonight and several other awards for everything from your Value Whiskey Canada Gold all the way up to the Portwood Reserve. This is another big night, the second year in a row, I think, for you guys, right?
Yes, actually third year in a row for winning Canadian Whiskey of the Year. And that's just an unbelievable, it's like a hat trick in hockey, right? It's just nice to really be recognized and to when you put the passion into it and the patience into it, just nice to be recognized.
And we can make a hockey reference now with the lockout being over and hockey returning this weekend. So
that's right. First game this weekend.
So tell me about the Portwood Reserve, because not a lot of folks outside of your main home market in Ontario and some of the export markets down in the southern part of the U.S. heard about this one.
That's correct. The Portwood, I love vintage ports, and being a winemaker by trade, back in 1999, I laid down grapes out of Niagara that I made into a tawny port. So I put them in brand new American white oak barrels, medium char, and left them there till 2009, and then I dumped the port, which was an added bonus because I like vintage ports. And then I put my rye, barley, and my aged corn whiskeys into the port barrels and finished them. They were already aged American white oak, but I further finished them off for another 2.5 years in the vintage port barrels. And that's how I went about making my Portwood. And it just brings some wonderful, wonderful flavors to the whiskeys.
Let's talk about the Canada Gold, because not a lot of folks know about that one, and it tends to be, when people see it, they think it's one of these value whiskeys that they're not really going to like, but then they try it, and it comes out very, very special. Tell me about this one, because this is not new barrels. This is your reused barrel select barrels, right?
That's correct. They're I always use brand new American white oak barrels for 40 Creek, but the barrels need a second home. And I use them for my value whiskey called Canada Gold. And it's a terrific tasting whiskey. And it's very nice to be recognized for that. But it's made differently in the sense that I do use a bit of a mash bill. It's mainly corn and rye. But it's aged in 40 Creek barrels.
And where is it available?
It's available only, unfortunately, right now, in Ontario. It's difficult to get distribution for it, but having it being recognized as a great-tasting whiskey, I'm going to begin to try and get additional distribution on it.
What's your next project going to be? Because I know you come out with something new every year. What's the 2013 going to be?
2013, I have to decide within the next 4 weeks. I'm deciding between two different ones. What it will be exciting. It'll be another sort of growth in my development as a whiskey maker, and I think it'll be something you'll enjoy, Mark.
But you're not going to tell me what those two choices are you?
Not just yet. I will let you know the minute I decide.
Gibson's Finest 18-year-old was one of the finalists for Canadian Whiskey of the Year, along with Canadian Rockies 21-year-old. Other top winners included Masterson's Rye, both the original, and a limited edition French Oak release, Alberta Premium Dark Horse, and several whiskeys from the Sortilège range. You've probably never heard of them, mostly because they're primarily available only in Quebec. Nadia Yadacerna of Mondia Alliance accepted a handful of medals and the Award of Excellence for Innovation for Sortilège.
We've been making Sortilège, which is a maple whiskey liqueur, for about 7-8 years now. And our master blender, Michel Marcel, decided a few years back to kind of expand on that line. So now we have Sortilège Prestige, which is a 7-year-old rye whiskey, where I was talking about rye whiskey base with maple syrup. And then we have a Sortilège cream liqueur. Again, whiskey, cream liqueur, maple syrup flavored. And this year we came out with Tap 357, which is a 3-5-7-year-old aged whiskey and then infused it with maple syrup. So we're using a lot of the Quebec heartland product, which is maple syrup, and putting that with whiskey. And what it does, really, it appeals to the masses, especially for women who normally don't drink whiskey. Now we're getting a new category and new consumers to that category.
And where are your whiskeys available?
Our whiskeys are available throughout all Canada, mainly the retail liquor stores. Prestige is slowly coming into the market, so the Sortilège Prestige and the Sortilège Cream, but Sortilège Original, as we say, the original one, is available in all the major liquor stores throughout Canada, as well as Tap 357.
Any plans for export?
Oh, yes, definitely. We're exporting in the U.S. Our main partner in the U.S. is called The Wine Group, and they're probably the second or third largest wine suppliers, distributors globally. So they're our main partners in the U.S., and you'll be finding it there very, very soon.
And other markets possibly over time?
We have talked to, yes, like South American market and Chinese market as well, since they seem to like that kind of flavored whiskey. So we're looking into that for sure.
I'll have tasting notes for some of the top award winners later on. And that's the week's news.
The news is brought to you by Glenmorangie. Visit us on the web at glenmorangie.com or download our iPad app at the iTunes App Store. Glenmorangie, unnecessarily well made.
This is the first of two episodes this weekend from Victoria. Next time around, I'll have some of the highlights from this weekend's Victoria Whiskey Festival. Meantime, let's check the comments of the week now, brought to you this time around by Johnny Walker. Got an email from Lex Tomaszewski this week. Here's what he had to say. I was driving to Pittsburgh for work yesterday and was able to catch up on some past WhiskeyCast episodes. Your interview and story on the Brooklady transaction in episode 403 was in-depth, and after hearing about the soul of the distillery and the people that bring it to life, I picked up a bottle of Brooklady Rocks. Any notes on that one? For my first taste of their product, can't wait to try it. Well, I don't have any notes on that one, mainly because it came out in late 2005 when I wasn't doing many tasting notes at the time. In fact, Jim McEwen of Brooklady talked about the Rocks expression way, way back in episode number 2 of WhiskeyCast from November of 2005. The New York Times had an interesting article on American malt whiskeys this past week, with a lot of attention on Chip Tate of Balcones Distillery in Waco, Texas. I've posted a link to the article on the WhiskeyCast Facebook page. And finally, I mentioned the problem with the ratings section of the WhiskeyCast smartphone apps the last time around. We have figured out what caused the problem. It's linked to a change in web servers that is part of our migration to the all-new WhiskeyCast website. But since the apps will have to be updated and we do have one more server change coming, the ratings section will be out of commission for a few more days. It'll be available again as soon as possible. If you have a question, suggestion, or a comment, I'd love to hear from you. You can always post a note on the WhiskeyCast Facebook page or just email me. My address is comments@whiskeycast.com. And the comments of the week are brought to you this time around by Johnny Walker on the web at johnnywalker.com. Click the banner at the WhiskeyCast website to become a Whiskey Insider today. Let's check the calendar of events now, brought to you, as always, by Laphroaig. John McDougall and the Wild Scotsman, Jeffrey Topping, will be touring bars and tasting events in the Midwestern U.S. this coming week. Their full list of tour stops is on the WhiskeyCast website. The Caledonia Pub in New York City will be holding a Burns Night Dinner on January 23rd. There'll be a Whiskies of the World dinner at Hopscotch in Oakland, California on January 28th. A couple of new additions to the calendar this week. The Spirits of Kingston Whiskey Festival will be on February 23rd in Kingston, Ontario. And the Tipawedram for Cancer Research charity event will be in Vancouver, British Columbia, March 8th. Since we're doing two episodes this weekend, the next time around I'll take a look at events outside North America. But until then, you'll find a full calendar of events from around the world at the WhiskeyCast website, and it's brought to you by Laphroaig. Take a virtual distillery tour at Laphroaig.com, and while you're there, become a friend of Laphroaig and claim your own square foot of Islay.
WhiskeyCast, brought to you by Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. In conversation with Tim Brennan, retired engineering supervisor, Redbreast single pot still Irish whiskey.
I've worked with Irish distillers for 40 years. I was born in Middleton and went to school in Middleton and then joined a company in 1971. Traditions in the old distillery were if you were involved in a very dirty job, you then got a half glass of Redbreast. They were the perks in the old distillery. We had one guy there who was particularly fond of his glass of Redbreast. And in order to go to the manager of the warehouse, he would get a really dirty bag of dust and he'd shake it over himself so that he looked so dirty. And he would head off over to the manager and say, "Mr. Daly, here I am. I've had a terrible dirty job for the morning. Look at the cut of me. Any chance of getting a half one?" And he'd duly get his half one. Come back, change his clothes, and he was fine again.
Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Those in the know, know Redbreast.
WhiskeyCast In-Depth is brought to you by Woodford Reserve. I spent some time on Thursday in the northern part of Vancouver Island at the Shelter Point Distillery in Campbell River. I've mentioned Shelter Point several times in the past, but this was my first chance to visit the distillery, which is located on a 350-acre farm right along Raines Sound. Patrick Evans and Jim Marinus have been distilling single malt spirit for a little more than a year and a half now, and Patrick led me and some fellow writers on a tour of Shelter Point.
We're not full-time production, probably run the stills maybe 50% of the time. The remaining time, we actually have different venues and things here for cash flow. As whiskey takes so long to wait or to cure, we got to develop other sources of revenue. So it's hurry up and wait, a lot of it.
So what'd you find for alternative sources? Weddings and things like that? I saw some wedding brochures around.
Yeah, we do a little wedding venues, things like that. Maybe in 5 years' time, we like to wrap that up. And, dealing with folks in the peak of their little moment, the rest in charge ladies that are really focused on their weddings, I mean, it's great. Appreciate the work. But we really want to become the whiskey distillery first and foremost.
So how's the whiskey progressing? Because I know initially you started out with the recipe that you and Mike had put together with Mike Nicholson, and you've been doing some tweaking since then, right?
Yeah, a lot of tweaking and adjusting. Mike's given us a great background, Mike's brilliant. His nose is fantastic. We've learned tons from Mike. And we learned traditional Scotch whiskey styles of making single malt. And that's brilliant. Love it. But for us, we want to kind of evolve and make sure we make a Canadian single malt. And so that allows us to play with it a bit, tweak it a bit. We're on the farm here. We love the idea of growing our own product, growing our own cereals here. So we walked down that road this year. 50% of our product, we actually came from the farm here, right on the farm. I planted it. I combined it. James distilled it. It's coming very nicely.
This really has been a farm for many, many years. You guys and your family bought it from the university, right?
That's correct. My family's been farming in the Comox Valley since, early 1900s. This farm came up for sale in 2006. We were the lucky ones, I think, or not, or depends what day it is. You talk to our bank, our silent partner, let's keep them silent. But no, it's been going very well. It's a great farm, beautiful farm, great soil potential. And for us, that's what it is. The great thing, what we've learned about whiskeys is, if you talk about what makes a great whiskey, you talk to the cooperage guys, and it's all about the barrel. You talk about the master distiller, well, it's all about the stilling and the cuts. You talk about the farmer, and it's all about the dirt, So for us, we got to have a balanced soil, to have the balanced plant, to have the balanced cereal, and then all those other components, very important, too. It's like a tapestry. Every little piece matters, and we just got to make sure that all parts, the soil's balanced, The cuts are good, and the barrels are good, and then we have a complete package that hopefully will be great.
And the climate here is actually very similar to that in Scotland. The latitudes are fairly similar to the lowlands of Scotland, so it's a climate that will work for making single malt, right?
Very much. Very indicative. I mean, right here on the ocean, some of the beautiful distilleries in Scotland, I mean, they're brilliant. We've toured many, and you walk by and you smell them, you sea breeze and the air, and the cereal crops are growing. It's just fantastic. And coming here or being here, it's just can't ask for anything better right now.
How did this come about in the first place? We've not really addressed that. How did you wind up making creating a distillery in the first place?
It actually came from a local government, Economic Development Society of Comox Valley. They actually brought over a bunch of investors from Scotland that were looking at doing different distilleries or different opportunities here on the coast. And we met with a fellow named Andrew Curry. Andrew Curry, his dad, actually helped establish, or Andrew did as well, the Isle of Arran distillery. Really good guys, great guys, down to earth. And actually, it was through Andrew that we initially got the idea and the concept. That was 5 years ago, 4 years ago. A tour to Scotland, and that sold us. The beautiful distilleries, some of the guys that are doing the value adding of over there, some farmers that are doing the same thing as us, Kilcolman, a dairy operation. They have a beautiful distillery there, great product. I just love the idea how we can value add our agricultural product here on the island. So that's going there really sold it to us.
And you built all this yourself, right?
Well, not myself. We had a lot of good guys working for us. We had a crew of five or six guys. James and I mean, we guys like playing in sticks and bricks and muck and that sort of stuff. So we like concrete work. You know, I'm not the guy that can groom it and make it really nice pretty. We get those guys, but certainly I can pack a wheelbarrow. You know, so things like that we like to do. James is actually he's really the guy that sort of put together the architectural component of it, the flavor, you know, the leather chairs, the black rock, things like that. He's got a real eye for that. Maybe not so much, but he did a pretty fine job. Yeah, pretty proud of it.
But all the timber came from here, from the lands too, right?
Yeah, we have a wood lot as well, so we have a small logging operation. So the bulk of the timber came from it. So the beams were milled here, actually on the farm. The timber frame that you'll see later on inside, the roofing was actually overbuilt in the barns one winter. We had a crew, Chris Henderson and his son, brilliant local. They're not carpenters, they're craftsmen. There's a difference. Carpenter's more like me, you pack wood, you bend it, you make it work. He's a craftsman. He'll look out the wood and go, no, no, no. And I'll go, why not? Because I'm paying the bill, right? And so we listen to him more than me. No, he's a good craftsman. Him and his son and another fellow, Hans, they did a brilliant job on you know, tweaking the beams, adjusting them. Just doing a fantastic job for us.
Now, you are still basically a year and a half or so, just almost getting a year and a half into producing spirit. So it's still at least another year and a half before it can be called whiskey. But how much longer than that before you're going to be ready to start selling?
Wow. Yeah. Minimum a year and a half. I mean, we get asked that question a lot. I'm kind of reluctant to answer it because what if you end 3 years, you go, damn, just a little bit longer, I think. So we like to think 3 years. I mean, my bank says, you know, 3 years. I think when it's ready, it's ready. And that's really the honest truth is we'll do a flavor profile analysis. We'll get folks like yourself, and maybe we'll sit around and we'll crack a few barrels and go, yeah, or maybe a little longer, and we wait. So when it's ready, it's ready.
But in the meantime, you're sourcing whiskey from Alberta Distillers and selling that as a single grain, right?
Yep, we do bring in a little bit of product from them. We bottle it here and we put it on our shelves because when people come to visit us, well, they're thirsty. And what are your distillery and you don't have any product? Well, no, because we're just, you know, we're just young. So we bring a product in. Alberta Distillers have been really good guys helping us out. We bring it in by the tote, bottle it here, and it's more like we don't run it through LDB or anything like that. It's more just a local thing here when folks want something to drink.
What's the best part of running a distillery of your own?
Oh, wow. Happy hour? No. actually, we don't really have much of that because I think in this line of work, it can get you in a lot of trouble actually sipping all the time. So we sip and spit an awful lot. I think one of the most wonderful things is here we are, January. It's kind of gloomy outside. It's cold, frosty, you know, rainy. We're inside. It's 70 degrees inside, leaning up against a still, having a cup of coffee in the middle of winter. Brilliant. I can't think of a better job. We're climatized. I mean, you can imagine dairy operations, agriculture. Wintertime, you know, kind of gloomy and cold and gumboots. And now I dress up, we go to work, we come home clean, my wife is happy, my clothes don't smell. I mean, it's a good time. Yeah, absolutely.
What does your wife think about all this, your wife and daughters?
Very lucky to have my wife to support me like she does. You know, the first we started this, we're like, oh yeah, how's that going to work? But we've been together for, you know, 25 years, so she, you know, I'm running off doing one of my little, you know, things again, but very supportive. My kids are like, you know, it's great to have four daughters. I mean, brilliant. We're bottling today. Okay, everybody, let's go in bottling. We're 19, Dad. Well, it'll be okay. Yeah, I'll sign off on it. Okay, so we get the gals doing all the bottling for us and helping us out during events and things like that. So, really lucky.
We tasted some of the Shelter Point spirit after our tour, and even though it was only about 18 months old, it shows a lot of promise for the future with several more years of maturation. There's a link to the Shelter Point website at the WhiskeyCast website, and if you're visiting Vancouver Island on vacation, the distillery is open for group tours by appointment only. That's this week's WhiskeyCast In-Depth, brought to you by Woodford Reserve. Welcome the new year with craft and distinction. Visit woodfordreserve.com for cocktail recipes perfect for the occasion. Craft carefully. Drink responsibly. Bourbon whiskey, 45.2% alcohol by volume. Woodford Reserve Distillery, Versailles, Kentucky. The What I'm Tasting This Week department is brought to you this time by Bal Blair. And I wanted to share some of my tasting notes for whiskeys that were honored in this year's Canadian Whiskey Awards. Of course, 40 Creek Portwood Reserve took top honors as Canadian Whiskey of the Year. It's bottled at 45% ABV, and the nose is fruity with orange and black cherries, vanilla, ginger, and a nice maltiness. The taste is rich with oak and cinnamon, balancing caramel, toffee, honey, and ginger notes, along with a very mild smokiness. The finish is long and dry with a good balance between subtle orange peel, honey, and caramel. I'm scoring 40 Creek Portwood Reserve an 89. Now, 2012 marked the 100th anniversary of a couple of iconic Canadian events. Highwood Distillers in Alberta honored the 100th anniversary of the Calgary Stampede with a very limited edition 25-year-old whiskey. The nose has vanilla, hints of raspberry and fresh-cut cedar, honey, and butterscotch. The taste has cloves and cinnamon with just a hint of butterscotch underneath and a grapefruit juice tartness that leads into the dry and tart finish with a touch of mild oakiness. I'm scoring the Highwood Calgary Stampede 25-year-old an 85. 2012 was also the 100th Grey Cup for Canadian football fans, and Gibson's produced a commemorative Grey Cup limited edition to mark the occasion. In fact, one of our Canadian listeners, and I really have to apologize here for not remembering his name, asked a couple of months ago if I would be doing tasting notes on this whiskey. So here they are. It's bottled at 40% ABV. The nose has notes of butterscotch, mild rye, burnt vanilla, and mild cloves. The taste is peppery, but not overly so, with sweet touches of maple syrup, a creamy mouthfeel, and a slight tartness. And the finish is long with a soft pepperiness and maple brown sugar sweetness. I'm scoring the Gibson's Finest 100th Grey Cup Limited Edition an 83. I'll be adding these tasting notes to the WhiskeyCast website, which is also where you'll find links for the WhiskeyCast HD and WhiskeyCast Virtual Tastings podcasts, our Facebook page and my Twitter feed, the calendar of events, and a complete archive of past episodes. The address is WhiskeyCast.com, and my email address for questions and suggestions is comments@WhiskeyCast.com.
WhiskeyCast. Proudly brought to you by Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Join the stillhouse at singlepotstill.com and receive an exclusive whiskey tasting journal.
Special thanks to the organizers of the Victoria Whiskey Festival for hosting me this weekend. And don't forget to listen for our special second episode of the weekend from Victoria. WhiskeyCast is a production of Cask Strength Media, copyright 2013. I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.